Hello, you're listening to Third Waves.
Third is a platform that amplifies underrepresented voices through print, events, and on the airwaves. You're joined by me, Tribe, DJ, and radio host.
Me, Daniela, writer, musician, and producer.
And myself, Rona, stylist, founder, and editor-in-chief of Third.
This is With My Niger Sisters. Welcome back. If you're tuning in for the first time, we recommend checking out the other episodes too, but you can also just dive in here with us. On this episode, Tribe, Palumi, Chloe and Rona talk about their experiences of traveling to Nigeria.
Welcome to With My Niger Sisters. This series is all about the experiences of Nigerians from the diaspora, specifically women and non-binary people. When doing this series, one of the things I felt I particularly had to do was to reflect on my experience, but from the lens of a British person, obviously someone who's grown up in Britain, and also from the lens of a woman, because I've been gendered a woman my whole life, which kind of nicely leads me to this episode, which is about basically journeys to Nigeria and how we've experienced that, if we've had that. But just to start off, can I get my guests to introduce themselves?
Hi, I am Tribe, a DJ, music editor at Third, and radio host and producer.
Hi, I'm Chloe Fulani, poet, artist, performance artist, workshop facilitator, sometimes model.
Hello, hello, I'm Palumi and I'm a travel content creator.
I'm Rona, I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Third. So, fun question, describe the first thing or smell that comes to mind when thinking about being in Nigeria.
The heat as you step out of the plane, it slaps you in the face.
Humidity.
Humidity, it's real over there. Yeah, that's always, that always come to mind.
For me, and this might not be a positive thing, petrol, oil. There's a kind of in the air, mainly in Lagos though, there's a kind of petroleum smell.
It's just a lot of people in one space kind of smell.
Literally,
but still homes kind of smell.
Still home.
Mine would be actually either the petrol or, you know, the banana that they fry, they grill on the streets. That smell as well.
Nice.
Chloe, what do you think yours would be?
From when I was 11, maybe. Probably similar, petrol, food, cooking.
Cooking.
Low-key, not so great, but I don't know why, but I can think of a goat.
A goat?
Yes.
Is that a back garden or something?
There was just a goat always somewhere.
It's true. It's not so true.
That's so random.
So true.
Can we talk about our experiences of traveling to Nigeria? Like, when did you go? Where did you go? Who did you go with? Maybe reflecting on like recent or first experiences.
I think mine has transitioned. Back in the days, going back home was almost like a yearly occurrence, and it was going back to family reunions, Christmas. Christmas was a very big deal. Yeah, still a very big deal in Nigeria. I think you have the whole, like, you know, at least in my family, the church practices, and then you then, you know, eat a whole lot of meals. Very recently, I guess, in my adult life, I'd say experience in Nigeria outside of the family setting, whereby when you're just going to visit aunties and uncles, you're actually experiencing the Lagos life. And Dirty December became a thing whereby, you know, everybody's looking forward to that, going to Ghana or Nigeria, and like you're like experiencing the nightlife and just like the music, that whole essence of it. I recently went last year, actually, December. A friend got married. So that's the thing that takes you back home, you know, because people, a lot of people have their families back there. They get married back there. And it was lit. It was so much fun. So much fun. Yeah, highly recommended going to Nigeria in December.
I actually went for the first time this year in September. I always wanted to go with my mom. And so I
kind of was holding out for the opportunity, and my mom, not even low key, high key, didn't want to take me. She was worried about how much it would cost to have an extra person, and da da da. And she was like, I just want to go here and there, and I was like, no, I want to go. Like, this is it, come on, it's gotten to that point, let's go. And it was amazing. I got to go to, like, I got to travel around Lagos, but I also got to go to like other states as well. I got to meet like family members that I could only like just imagine. For example, I saw a picture of my granddad that I'd never seen before. I went to my granddad's home, but also my great-granddad's home as well. But for me, what felt like home and what felt like a place that really I felt connected to was Oshun. I felt like it was a lot more calmer than Lagos, and it's of my mom's, you know, family and heritage. And obviously that's where the Oshun River is. That's where the Oshun is, the goddess is, or the Orisha is worshipped. And I went to the river and literally it just felt very like spiritual for me. So yeah, it was a great experience. And for me, when I think of home, I think of Oshun in terms of my connection to Nigeria.
I haven't been recently, but when I did go when I was 11, I just remember like the intensity of Lagos. Like, it's a very intense city. Also, so many rules. But I guess because I was a young and a child, so I had to be around Lagos, so it'd be nice to go older, but who knows how that could turn out. You know, let's hope the laws change, because you know, it's very strict out there. But yeah, there was a lot of rules, and I even outside of just being a child, I think I remember even just looking at the rules for just a lot of like the women, as well as just like people in general. Like, there was so much of like, I remember we had our phones in the car at night, and my mum being like, this is such a significant memory, where it was like, my mum was like, turn your phones off, don't have your phone light out. And I remember being like, oh, but we're in the city, da, da, da. It's like, it's fine, but obviously there's just like, there's thieves and stuff, and like the criminality, obviously it's not everywhere, but just like how it can be such a pervasive thing that you have to make sure that your phone in the car that you're driving. Also, yeah, it felt like there wasn't such an ease for people to have too much freedom, but maybe if you were older, you could have a different experience in that way. But yeah, I don't know. I find I would like to experience it now, but yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
How can that go?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a complicated question.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I went was like 6 or 7 years ago. Okay. And I think it was mostly because actually my uncle had passed. Mm. So I went with my mum and brother. So it was very much like a family trip, but I've been a few times. So I would say generally my trips to Nigeria tend to be about like 2 weeks plus, maybe more like 3 to 4 weeks, to be honest with you, when I've done them. And they tend to be about seeing family, meeting the extended family, all of that. Yeah, I think also I become very aware of all the rules when I go to Nigeria as well. I think as a child, maybe like less so, just because there were always just rules around me. But as like a young woman in my 20s, I remember the last time I went, I was like, this is not the version of Nigeria I was looking for. Just because I think some of the, like, as a, you know, I'm kind of grown at that time, and some of the expectations, I was like, I know I look young, but I'm not young. So that's always been quite interesting. But when I go, I tend to go to like Lagos to start my trip in Lagos, because I have a lot of family there, and then travel to the east, which to Alor, where my mom's from. And weirdly enough, I usually find I like the east more, even though the network's really bad and all of that. I just like the chill vibe of it, and it's really beautiful, the orange sand. Also like the very obvious sense of connection, like just people kind of sifting in and out of houses and stuff like that. And the fact that where my mum's from anyway, like there was like a central house that it felt like people gravitate towards. I thought that was quite a special experience to like just to have in Nigeria. So, yeah.
I think it's important for people to know that Lagos is not Nigeria, you know. People make that mistake, and Yoruba people as a tribe, they're almost 200 language spoken in Nigeria. So yeah, we're so diverse that it would be wrong to just take one location, one tribe, or one, you know, language as the totality of it. And it's so true what you say. People tend to come, enjoy the bustle and the hustle of Lagos. People find solace because it's quite familiar to London, and you know, you going after the bag. But then when you're able to move away towards the north, the south, and just away in that inner peace, is a whole different vibe. But yeah, it's definitely important to highlight that. Yeah.
So true. I'm quite curious how we would all experience Nigeria, like, by ourselves, making I guess, do you know how we have a life here and the way we navigate London? We know how to navigate London, what to expect, how that would look like if we were accustomed to Nigeria and was navigating just a life in Nigeria. Like, I would love to, I think I was having this conversation with our producer Daniela about being able to just walk around and act as if you would just have a life in Nigeria, and how that would look like, and actually experiencing it.
I think instantly, once you get there, they know you're not from there.
Yeah, that's it. It's so true. And that changes the interaction for
straight
sure.
Straight away. Yeah. And once you open your mouth, you're like, yeah, she's not from here.
So true. But I think also one of the things that I found interesting for me was I can't speak the language. Like, I understand, I always said, like, I understand like 60%. Gotcha. So people could talk to me and I'll kind of, like, if they were saying, oh, grab this, or can you do that, I'll know what, yeah, I can, like, I know what to, how to respond to that, but I wouldn't be able to vocalize. And that felt so limiting in so many ways. So obviously that would limit the experience or the ability to kind of navigate. But outside of that hurdle, if that was something that I had in my arsenal, it would be interesting to try and live a life in Nigeria and knowing the rules and how to navigate, and again the various things that come into it, for example, how we express ourselves and being Western, being queer, or whatever kind of comes into all of that, and navigating that as a Nigerian. It'll be fascinating.
Yeah, I think especially when it comes to language as well, because I don't speak the language. So that was one of the barriers that I definitely felt like I would experience in Nigeria. Obviously, mostly in the context of my family, because obviously English is widely spoken in Nigeria anyway. But to what extent do we all felt like we were read as Nigerian in Nigeria? For me, I definitely feel like it was like what you said, you were almost like the British person. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's definitely the sometimes them explaining things to me that I'm aware of. Does that make sense? Like, oh, you just came, so you should know that. I'm like, yeah, this is like basic, like, okay, I shouldn't stay out too late, like that. That same principle I will establish there. I speak the language, so that definitely helps, and it comes out stronger the more when I'm once I touch the motherland, it's like a spirit possessed me and I can suddenly speak better. But still, sometimes they can speak up under like the accent or something, and sometimes I experience that advantage, that privilege, because there's definitely the treating the other with a bit more respect, which, you know, shouldn't be taken advantage of. But like when you go to the bank, for example, just because if I bring like a British passport or something like that, there's that extra, you know, attention all of a sudden put towards me. Or if I want to help, I want to sort you out first, I'm like, no, these people were here before me. Why did I become suddenly the, you know? So yeah, I think definitely having that, but in that space of how you're treated, it definitely plays a role of, you know, if you speak the language, or, you know, if they perceive that you're an other, they might start acting different. I'm like, you just be yourself. Don't worry. You don't have to. Yeah, that's what I found. I don't know.
I definitely felt like I was a foreigner. There was elements of like, yes, I'm Nigerian and, you know, we all know. But I did feel like a bit like an outsider, especially there was moments I'm naturally left-handed. So if I wasn't consciously thinking, not even the slap, it was the clutching of pearls, how dare you? So I think my mum must have given me the keys at one point, and I just was like that. And it was in front of, like, because like the auntie in front of the shop was there, and the driver, everyone, just, it was like a record stop moment. You know what?
I don't know why, but that gave me like PTSD.
I had to do the quick
hand swing. Yeah. I just like, and it was just those small things that kind of really highlight, you know. And I guess, yeah, I like, again, with the language as well. So it's weird to an extent feel that strong connection to home to a degree, and then feel like you're not fully home. It's all, and it did draw comparisons to me as being a British person, where you know you're not England, but you're British at the same time.
Yeah.
And just not necessarily ever fully, as we've spoken about before, having your footing grounded fully in any place.
Yeah.
Because of that, there's always something slightly.
And brings that out. Question when people ask, you know, where are you from? It's like,
yeah.
What's the question you're asking me?
Yeah. So I just want to say that left hand thing is such a British thing. So it's just like so annoying that they've adopted it so hard. Yeah. Like that.
Is it? Mm. It's British. I never knew it was a British thing.
Because in Britain, kids used to get whipped to be right handed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was the same principle. It's like God's hand is the right hand.
Yeah.
Wow. But obviously they removed it from Britain's like ideologies, but it stayed in Africa.
I didn't know that as well. Wow.
I just thought it was a. Wow.
That's what I mean. The colonial aspect
so
in our
ingrained.
That is so ingrained. Yeah. That is almost like, it's just like greeting and kneeling and, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
I think the kneeling and greeting is
slightly that is
different.
Still cultural. Like, culture, but that left-hand thing, I've always wondered, where did that come from?
Because left-hand people always existed.
Yeah.
That's literally, for me,
but
it's the same.
It's such a Christian ideology where the left hand is the devil's hand.
It's
constant
dirty.
And then the right hand is God's hand.
And do they know what, I mean, no one knows what hands everyone's using in the toilet. So...
Wait, it's both.
It definitely wasn't that concern.
That doesn't.
And I was
make
thinking,
sense.
I'm not dominant. But okay.
Exactly.
Let's not go.
Anyway.
I think I definitely experienced that of like being like. I remember at my cousin's house that we were staying at. There was a house girl, and I think I only was like, oh, is that the servant? And they're like, that's not a servant. She's a house girl. And I was like, what's a house girl? And then like learning about a house girl, how she's like come from the village and she's paying to like, she's getting paid to like give some money to her family and stuff. But it's like, I'm like,
Just not right.
But then they're like, oh no, it's fine. It's like, oh, you're so English. like my concern was so English. And I was like, no, y'all just need to like let her free.
I think for me, one of the moments was when I was gonna go to the beach and I was like, oh, going to the beach, let me bring my bikini, let me do this, and everyone was like, and I was like, what do you mean? And it was just like quite an innocent thing, but you just realize, okay, even though you guys are by the sea, you guys are not doing the same thing I would imagine you'd be doing. So that was almost like my ignorance. Yeah, a lot around wardrobe, actually, to be fair.
How was people dressed at the beach?
What was it?
I felt like it was literally, because there were a few like bar services by the beach. Okay. So for me, it felt like it was more like a socializing space as opposed to like
being
swimming, sunbathing. Like, I mean, yeah, to some extent, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember that just being like jarring. That's not what I thought we'd be doing when I asked to go to the beach.
literally brought a bikini.
Yeah. And I think also like, you know, when I would watch like traditional films as well, like the Nollywood and stuff, and you'd see the women in like the short pieces, like, you know, top and then the bottoms and stuff. And you'd be like, yeah, it's fine. Everyone's just showing their body, that sort of thing. Mm. And then you wear like a crop top and people are like, that's your home clothes, right? Like you're going to go out and change to something. Yeah. And I'd be like, really? Okay, cool. So moments like that, I was like, okay, I'm definitely in a different, though it's like not a massively different cultural context, it's like, yeah, just different expectations around stuff. And leading on from that, what things have made people feel like maybe a bit like British, more British in Nigeria?
I would say I don't know how you call it, operations, the way we do systems, the way we go from A to B, it's quite straightforward and time like orientated. We know where we stand. I remember even like at the airport, I had to see someone to check one aspect of my passport. Then they will point to someone else to check another aspect of my passport. And I mean, to a degree, they're all getting paid. Well done. You know, financially, the money's circulating. But it's not necessary. Yeah. That it's not. And it's like even just like just simple things. In my head, I was just like, this would never happen in Britain, you know. Yeah. And I hated myself for thinking that, because it's like I don't want to hold that kind of comparison and standard. But there are definitely things that could just be a streamlined, easier, smoother, and just I found it quite frustrating to like navigate and have the patience for.
Yeah.
What? The electric going out? Oh,
yeah. Never.
Oh yes.
I just like the amount of fuel, like. My cousins were, my play uncle, but kind of, not blood, but anyway, he owned tantalizers. So I'm like, oh, he's got money, blah, 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 like, really nice house. But I remember just always having, they would always have to use the fuel to like, for the electric. It's like, oh, the electric's gone out. I was like, what do you mean? That doesn't make sense. Because I'm thinking in context, like, oh, that means you're poor. But it's like, you're not poor. I know you're not poor.
I see you're not poor. You're not poor.
That's really interesting, because that's why I was like, oh yeah, that's a weird, but obviously because of the corruption in Nigeria, I mean, your dads will talk about, oh, the corruption. And then you learn about why the electric goes out, but yeah, it's such a different aspect.
I think definitely system and expectation of things to just be done, like bank visits. It's like, well, that's what you call it, like, you get there. They did this NIN thing to transition. It was the worst thing ever. Thumbprint is not working. Yes. Guys, this stuff is so basic. Like, what is going on? So, like, yeah, it's just like the expectation of things to just work.
Yeah.
And you get there and it's not working. You're just like, I don't even know how to respond to this. Like, what's happening? So, like, a bank visit that will take you 5 minutes in and out of nowhere. So, you're, like, there for hours. And just, like, I just want to transfer money. Like, you know.
Has anyone gotten a passport here? For Nigerian passport here?
Yeah.
Why did
the
it?
Whole...
It's like, in Lagos.
I was like, why did I enter Lagos? Because the thing is, you enter and it's
jollof rice.
It's a basement. And it's hot.
Yes.
It was winter. It was hot. But now it's hot inside. Who did the magic spell?
Why is there a queue? Why is there not appointment time?
There's such a long queue.
And there are people getting out food as well.
I had to do it in the same week. I went for my British passport renewal.
Yeah.
I had a time spot. I was in. I spoke to someone. Okay, to be next week. Why did I have to wake up and come and get number? Like, but the Nigerian...
I think it's to, like, get you ready, a taste of what... Someone, if you can get through
you
it.
You don't have your complete... I'm like, what do you mean? Your poster order, what do you mean?
And I swear, like, they find ways to add more processes to the... I'm glad everyone's getting paid along the way.
They're like, I want to make sure people get paid for every second.
But yeah, I think that's definitely the big shocker. Traffic too as well.
Yeah, traffic. Yeah,
like again, this is here in Lagos. The traffic can just be just like, well, I've been here. Like, it just goes, like, just turn up. When you're in the traffic, you have to turn off your engine because you're like, you're not moving. So just save your petrol.
Someone was saying how, what's it called? Certain areas kind of pay to make sure that their electricity is more consistent.
Yeah, where I stay, we don't have blackouts in my area.
Exactly. And then, because he was laughing, he was like, oh, it's that bad here. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, because...
Like, well, like, there's no light for 3 days. I'm like, what do you mean? We've had lights.
You're not going through the same thing.
Like, no. Yeah, some areas definitely...
Yeah, so for something as simple, I guess what we take for granted as electricity, it's hard to fathom that kind of, I guess, lack of consistency, I guess.
Because it layers up, not having electricity means there's no database, which means there's no watching crime, having camera. Yeah. It's just like, it's like the fundamental is already, the foundation is not there. There's nothing
but
to build upon.
What you said earlier, it's the governments.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know it's an oil-rich country, so why does it make any sense?
And so economically as well, think of how that's impacting all the different areas. Everything shuts down and it's just like...
Mm.
That's.
I remember even actually one thing that also made me feel really itched was my cousins in the house. there was this massive door that leads up to the bedroom, but it was like a vault door. So you would literally, when you close it, it like,
it would
be massive and heavy as hell.
Within
like,
the house.
Like they get robbed.
Yeah, outside, because there's that ingrainment that there's going to be. Yeah, and I remember, especially when there was the blackouts, that's when they would be like everyone into the bedroom, the bedroom area, because if there's blackout, that means the gate can be unlocked. That means, you know, all the electrical systems.
Yeah.
Just be accessed easily, yeah.
Wow.
For me, it was the amount of cash you need to keep in your hand. I cannot fathom having, thank God, you know, someone else was there to look after me. Mm-hmm. But just to get by, I'm like, I don't want to be just busting out, notes every so often. That was the thing I found the hardest in a weird way. Mm. But upon reflection, so whenever the next trip to Nigeria is going to be, mm-hmm. what is that looking like for us all? The ideal trip to Nigeria.
If all is well, do you mean? Like in the country or just...
all is definitely well in the country.
All is well, but I mean like in the ideal, is that what you're like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ideal situation.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because for me, I know like, because I've mostly gone with my family, I'm looking almost to have what you had, Pulumi, which is to experience like the Lagos, Nigeria, which is about fun. And it's about like hitting these spots, if you know what I mean. And like really getting to understand the capital as like this growing sort of city buzz, you know what I mean? So I can say I can navigate it and I know where to go in it. And like I've been to say some of the bougier places, but also, you know, I can get around some of the places that are just more like local as well. That would be a big thing I'd love to do.
I agree. Like I said, my trip was with my mom, and my mom held me tight the whole way. And so it would be nice to get out and actually experience I always call it like popping champagne side of Nigeria, just so I can get a taste of it. And I'd love to DJ out there, obviously, if anyone is out there looking for a DJ. And just to experience the variation that, you know, Lagos can come in. It was great to have my first trip to be about family and just kind of get into grips with being in Nigeria. So I'm hoping to kind of expand what it means to be in Nigeria. So
also something I'd love to do as well is to find some of that the underground alternative spaces in Nigeria.
Yes.
And the queer spaces, because 100%. I know that they exist.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like, it'd just be nice to go and make the connection.
They, do you know, to the queer spaces, they exist. I remember one of my friends, someone I know, they wrote one of the sex education clips where the, what is the black gay guy's name?
Which one?
From Sex Education.
I don't watch Sex Education.
Sorry. Basically, he went to Nigeria and went to one of the queer spaces, but there was this thing that I found out that still happens still to this day, where they have to make sure there's... they know all the exits and procedures of how to escape in case there's a raid.
Yeah.
So they exist, but there's still this, like, obviously, fear.
That sounds like America in the 1960s, right? Yeah.
It exists, and I think it's interesting to see what it could be like out there in that way. Yeah, I hope a lot of things change so it'd be easier for people to travel there, essentially. Yeah.
I think tourism as a whole within the country, like Ghana's really puts, you know, from the, you know... what they call it, return.
Yeah,
the return. So that they really, really branded it well, and people were able to, you know, experience the cultural aspects and showcase their different assets in which they have. And Nigeria has plenty of that. Like we have tea plantations and up north, and just cultural rich, like museums and things like heritage, well maintained as well. So it's just that amplification that needs to be happening, and the government actually putting money behind it, you know,
it.
and making it an experience. I remember, you know, someone being, I don't know, Thailand, you take a tuk-tuk and it's like a wow thing. That's Nigeria, you know, it's everywhere, you know. Yeah. So it's like just highlighting that thing and making it, you know, packaging it for tourists to want to experience it. And the safety, I guess, that's why people tend not to want to, you know, having that under control.
Also, it's NSARS. What happened?
Yeah,
with
the
that?
Movement. Like, yeah, it's still going. It's still ongoing. Still, okay. I think it's a long term battle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but the young people are definitely speaking up and trying to like push
for change. Yeah.
Push for change. Absolutely. That's good. Absolutely. So yeah, explore more of Nigeria. That's what I'd like to do.
I agree with you in terms of like there's so much in Nigeria that could definitely be made into tourist hotspots and kind of encourage, especially people who've grown, who have Nigerian heritage, to come back and explore that for themselves. Even, for example, going to the Oshun River, as I was saying, I think it's considered one of the World Heritage Sites or something like that. It's considered one of those like national heritage sites in the world. And it's people recognize it locally, but it's not like it's not in the same way that it could be. And the very fact that, as we were saying, it's like people celebrate all over the world, you know, Oshun. And if it was kind of made in a way where it's like people who kind of practice, whether
imagine
it's from Cuba,
Brazil,
yeah, Brazil, yeah. Cuba, you know, Puerto Rico and all of that kind of stuff. Like, here's where you come and celebrate, you know, because they do the yearly traditional kind of festivities. Yeah. So kind of making it into a, hey, this is where you celebrate. Come here. Location. This is the day if you, you know. So making like things out of, I guess, things that Nigerians naturally take for granted, but making it into a cultural moment that we're inviting the diaspora or people to come and celebrate with us. I think
they
that
do
would be
that. And I know in some areas,
the
celebration.
Yeah. So it's doable, and I think you're right.
It's infrastructure to actually create them. We need hotels around those areas. That's and it. Electricity that we spoke about.
literally electricity, right? I was hoping when Ghana was doing the Year of Return, I think it was 2019 or something. Mm-hmm. I was really wondering if Nigeria would kind of look over their shoulder and be like, "Yeah, we should get on that. We should be. There's some things to take down."
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I hope so.
That's actually just reminded me. Do you guys know Grace Ladoja?
Yeah.
She obviously has done like Homecoming,
mm.
and that's based in Nigeria. That's the only thing. Obviously, it's not the same as the government being like, you know, Year of the Return.
Oh, interesting.
But like, I think it's around December or January, sort of thing, where it's like a homecoming back to Nigeria. And I thought that's something I'd actually love to go and participate in.
What does she
do?
Like just tours around the
world? Like loads of events and just like loads of creatives and artists who are from Nigeria. Will be there. It's like almost like conference vibes.
I think I've seen it on Instagram.
I think definitely more things like that will help. Obviously, you do need the infrastructure as well because you know that. Yeah, you do need the infrastructure as well. Mm. But it's good to know like slowly stuff are happening. But I do. Mm. I definitely just think to myself, Nigeria is also a huge country.
It is massive.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So it'd be amazing, like you know, to like. Also travel around Nigeria the same way you travel around let's say South America and stuff like that. I would love to be able to go like start my trip in Lagos and maybe make my way to like East, North, all these different places and nowhere to go, do you know what I mean? And what to look for rather than just be going into the bush
and not really sure where to go.
Not really know.
I'll plug in that talking lady. She's actually the only woman I know that I've done all 36 states, explored intensively, and she has lots of resources on her social media and stuff. Yeah, so she shares, and she's really good. I think she's really good. And you see places, I'm like, that is Nigeria. Like, I'm so embarrassed to say it. I'm like, oh my god, like amazing waterfalls and just like incredible sights. And you're just like,
but even like that,
wow,
you know, like, how like loads of people go to Jamaica to follow the waterfall.
Like it's in your backyard. I'm like, I went to you know, far away places just to experience this. Like, I personally, I'm doing a road trip next year, and you know, London to Lagos.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be driving from UK all the way to Lagos, Nigeria.
What's your route? Are you gonna go like through the like North Africa? And
no, I'm actually sticking to the west of Africa. I think the north and the and east are quite extensively explored.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna try and do the west, the west coast. So I'm quite excited to just showcase that, and hopefully that will bring attention from the eastern and bring it into, you know, those other countries as well. But the final location should be Lagos, Nigeria. So hopefully that's
amazing.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
I remember when you told me, I was like, oh my gosh.
I know. It's actually happening. Like, oh my God. Calm down.
So cool.
Go visit. Like, I think people should actually not listen to, I think this media can be quite misrepresentative of what the country is as a whole. I think when you meet a Nigerian, just the energy, the vibe, the friendliness, that's exactly how it is in the place when you do go visit. So I think people need to put them anywhere their mouth is, you know. Mm. Visit a bit more and not consider Africa as one place like that. Yeah. That gets under my skin. It's like, I'm going to Africa, where? So yeah, understand there's like, you know, 54 countries and Nigeria is one of them. So please go visit.
Yeah, even the intensiveness is worth experiencing. Do you know what I mean? It's worth like going through Balogun Market, all of these things.
It's like, a lot, but it's exciting. Exciting a lot. Like, it's all... Most of the experiences, I cannot, you know, some people have bad experiences, but all the experience, most of the experience I've had has been really pleasant. Like, people just, genuine curiosity, you know, genuinely just wanting to, you know, yeah, we have reputation of being, you know, interesting, to be honest. But I think most people genuinely have good intentions. So, it's worth visiting just for that experience.
Yeah.
I also want to see more, even just in the UK, just like more community oriented spaces around like Nigerian culture. Yeah. There's like one space I know, Yoruba Beans. They like help people learn Yoruba, and they sometimes hold events. I recently was at one where they did the paint and sip, and I read some poetry for them. But it was just really nice to be in a space where we're all like learning about like Yoruba culture and Yoruba words. Mm. And I think just bringing back more like community, Nigerian community ideologies, like back into sort of these spaces. Like, I remember my mum used to go to a community space with all these women, and it was really like quite powerful, because I remember them always being like talking about how annoying and bad man their husbands are. Or like, if a woman was recently
like group therapy.
But then also there was this like really powerful space where if one of the women's was having issues in her marriage or getting divorced, they'll all help support her, like with just money, finance and other things. That was like really powerful.
I think community.
Was really powerful to see that.
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting point, is because with the generation above us, as in our parents' generation, because of the fact that they were newly migrants, there was that need to cling to community. As people that have grown up in the UK with other communities who we kind of build connections with, whether that's Caribbean, whether it's South American and all that kind of stuff, maybe we feel less of a need to create distinctively Nigerian spaces, you know. So I think that's quite an interesting one to explore, whether it's worth bringing that and creating spaces for people specifically of our community and exploring our culture in that way within the UK or
and
London.
And it helps, like, people, like, you know, when you say the whole language thing, like, if you're able to learn the language, even just a few words or phrase, just be able to say it, greetings and stuff, I think that definitely helps just community. I know people, you know, learn how to braid hair, just, like, you know, things that will connect you a little bit more to your roots and stuff. I think that definitely
And it's also
helps.
Information sharing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Way to bed the best plantain.
Exactly.
What's going on?
Yeah. Or even just like this kind of moment, and like even like learning bits of history. Like, there's always someone that's like, oh, maybe their cousin or great uncle is like connected to Fela or some shit like that. And like, but it's like when we don't have those kind of spaces, and it doesn't mean those are your only communities. Mm. Like, you could have multiple community spaces. So it's like, I could have one Black British community space, then that off branch is like a Black Nigerian space, and then off branch Black Ishan, you know, like,
it gets deeper into their
pockets. But it doesn't mean there's one space, but it's just like these multiple spaces. It's like, because we're having these more closer connections, we're able to share deeper and then like learn more and also maintain a lot of our culture and history as well from that.
That's a good point.
My gosh, thank you guys so much for being my amazing guests on the show. Please share with our listeners where they can find you and also what they can hit you up for.
So you can find me mostly on IG, on Instagram at Pelumi, PELUMI.NUBI. You can find all my travels to all 80 plus countries and cities. So hacks, tips, all of it, all the gems, please check it out. Also my website, www.peluminubi.com. If you have any questions, please reach out. I'll be more than happy to answer you.
Hi, Chloe Filani. You can find me on Instagram, onechloe.f. There'll be a lot of my poetry and my art and some model pics and just, you know, everyday social moments that I share with people on my Instagram.
Hey, I am Tribe, and you can find me on the socials as well, on the gram. And if you're into mixes, especially music from like Nigeria as well, I post all of that stuff on Mixcloud and also on Instagram. And that is Tribe, T-R-Y-B dot official. Hit me up if you have any great music as well. And you want to also share your thoughts and experiences of Nigeria.
And I'm Rona. So I'm R-O-E-N-A on Instagram and also on most of the other social networks. You can also hit up my website, which is www.ronaezuma.com, to see my work. And also make sure you check out the third website and Instagram, which is obviously third with three I's, magazine.co.uk. If you've loved these episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your thoughts, your feedback to info@third, that's third with three I's, magazine.co.uk. You can also send us a voice note or anything, really. No nudes.
You guys are really tempting the people.
Oh, this left-handed chat. It's really mad if you think about it, how left-handedness is a thing. Like, like last episode, we talked about respectability policy, my new favorite concept. Yeah. Like, why is it a problem that somebody writes with different hands?
That's it. It's weird. And especially because if you look into how left-handedness exists, it's like so core to just the way their brain is made up. It's so, you know what I mean? It has no impact on anything. But yeah, it's so integral to the respectability of how you interact with each other. Mm. And, you know, it is definitely something that I would like to see stop as a left-handed person. I want to advocate.
Are you left-handed?
I'm left-handed.
But you write with your right hand, though?
I write with my left hand.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's because I moved the mic over. I'm slightly ambidextrous because I do things with my right hand.
Yeah, same.
But I write with my left hand.
Oh, yeah.
So if you threw a ball at me, I'd probably catch it with my right hand. But if I need to do anything like specific, yeah. It would be left-handedness. Yeah. But I can write slightly with my right hand, but it's not the best.
Just takes as long. Yeah.
And it's interesting because both my parents, I think, if I remember correctly, they both said that at one point they were forced to write with their right hand, that they were naturally left-handed people. So they came from a generation where it was like, whatever you're doing, you need to change that. So they've now produced two kids who are left-handed, but we've grown up in a country where I guess it's a different, or they've stopped putting so much emphasis on that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also enjoyed what Palumi was saying about tourism. Mm. We did an episode about tourism way back when the show started, where it was all about ethical tourism and the kind of things that we could try to think about when we travel, etc. And I found it almost a bit jarring, but like in a great way, when Palumi was like, oh, we should encourage more tourism, but what is the right way to do it? Because I think one of the things that you can get yourself into like a kind of dichotomy as like, oh, tourism is bad.
Mm.
But whether it's bad or not, we're never going to be without tourism,
mm-hmm.
right? Historically, there's people travel around. That's part of like what we do. And it's just gotten really mad now because of the combination of like air travel and internet and social media. And so obviously like something needs to change about it. But like, yeah, it's just an interesting question. Like, how do you encourage tourism and do it the right way? Because I definitely feel like sometimes in some places you can feel like, oh, this is like a healthy, thriving tourism ecosystem. And the people who work in like the tourism or service industries of that place, they seem happy. They are genuinely happy to welcome you and all that kind of stuff. And there are places that you go to where you just feel like this intense animosity from the locals towards you. But they also like, they hate you, but they need you because mm-hmm. this is like become the main income.
Mm-hmm.
Like I found that when I went to Toledo in Spain, it's like the oldest like medieval city. And you just, it was very uncomfortable because you just felt like the people hated you so much, yeah. which is like fair enough. Like I would hate yeah. all the tourists if that was like the main thing that happened. But I feel like that kind of shows that there maybe is some like mismanagement in how it's done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like making it quite twisted and hence making people hate the tourists and tourism. But yeah.
You're right. I think it really comes down to how it's done, because with some tourism, it can negatively impact the local people's lives. And I would hate to see that for Nigeria. I am also intrigued about what are we showcasing as a thing to come and visit. So whether it is the Dirty December, like Ghana does, where people do get little tastes of Ghana, but really and truly they're going to party in December and have the New Year's there. Or it's like, oh, actually, let's come and see the spirituality of, or the tie-dyeing traditions of, you know, Northern Nigeria. Like, it'll be quite interesting to see what they kind of show and becomes the export to entice people. Or, you know, like, look, if you look at like Saudi Arabia and Dubai, where they've built all these infrastructural things that entices people. So it's not that they're coming just for the desert and the traditions, they're coming to experience all these things within the biggest indoor mall there is in the world, or the, you know, all these different things that they've built to entice people. Mm. So I think the question is, what angle are they coming from if we're going to do it in Nigeria to really entice people, and whether it can be done ethically that it doesn't impact local people's lives? Another aspect to consider as well is infrastructure and safety. Nigeria needs to have infrastructure that's conducive to tourists and a sense that tourists will be safe. Similar to you, when I went to St. Lucia, there was an excitement to have people there, one, post pandemic, and two, there was a sense as a island that they know tourism would be financially beneficial to them. So it was like, even though they told us not to go to the beaches at night, there was this idea that if anyone touches a tourist, they will be dealt with because we want tourists here, you know? So I think if there was this idea that if we're going down this path of tourism, we need to make sure that tourists are well looked after and that they'll be safe in Nigeria. And in many ways, as a culture and as a individual people, we are loving, we're very welcoming, but there are things to be, you know, careful about. And I think that would need to be addressed as a whole, because it's so big and it's so vast, and people with so many different motives and agenda.
Yeah,
even trusting each other, you know, there's this sense of like, you know, you need to be careful, you know. So I think that's some of the things that would need to be put in place and make sure.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Are you a Niger babe, know a Niger babe, or want to get to know one? If you've listened to the show and want to keep the conversation going, send us a message with your thoughts about the topic and we'll read out our favourite responses on the bonus episode at the end of this series. We'd love to hear from you.
Email info@thirdmagazine.co.uk. That's third with three I's. Or message us on the gram @thirdmagazine.
If you want to see some BTS, head to our TikTok where you can see what went down in the recording of this show.
You can also catch more from us on our website, thirdmagazine.co.uk.
If you're enjoying listening to us during this series, you might want to check out one of our earlier shows or mini-series. There's All My Half East Asian BFFs, where I chat with friends who share a white and East Asian mixed heritage.
And 20 single episodes to listen back to, covering rich topics such as dark tourism,
love and relationships,
cultural appropriation,
and cancel culture. And don't forget to help spread the word. Share the show with a friend, a colleague, your mum, or just rate and review us wherever you're listening.
All of the music you've been hearing on this episode is by the versatile Afro-electronic DJ and producer Sensi Lo. You can connect with her on Instagram at senseilo.